Okay, you're right.
For you to think that that's your best option at this point.
Yeah. Okay, I'm recording.
Great. Good job. You're not videoing.
Oh, crap. This is emotion art. Emotion because I'm literally made out of emotions, and art because everything feels like art. This is actually a recording that I made in answer to a question that someone asked me before I did a meditation with them. And they asked, what can I expect to experience in this meditation? And I'd never thought about that before. I do meditations with people now and then, and they're always different, and I've never really thought about what I do. It's just, I just act by instinct. But she wanted to know what to expect, so I just started recording an answer to just try to get something flowing. And that's what this is. It basically started with that, and then went to kind of my why, I think, why I do it, which is my journey through pain and fear into joy. The basis of the meditation is a practice called IFS, or Internal Family Systems. My experience with it is that I read the book No Bad Parts by Richard Schwartz, and it gave me a language to be able to interact with and learn about my inside emotional world. And so I'm by no means a therapist of any kind, but I'm highly empathetic, and I really enjoy experiencing other people's emotions, their reactions. So anybody who's brave enough to explore with me, I love to sit and do a, you know, hour and a half meditation with. It's so much fun. And I get to watch them meet themselves, and I get to meet myself in a new way every time. So win-win. So here's a little peek at what it felt like for me to face my fear in my search for joy. When I do a meditation with somebody, typically I invite them to take a walk inside themselves. So we first step inside through whatever means is most comfortable. And then we just basically start telling a story to make communicatable sense of abstract and chaotic emotion. And then we just keep following the threads of the story and see where it takes us. And what's in it for both of us is that we get to know ourselves better through it. Every person is a mirror. The things that trigger me in another person are red flags pointing to fears that I have inside myself. And so I get to watch a human meet themselves. And I get to see the shape of the emotions that are happening through the form of a kind of simple story. We give each happening a personality and sit with it as if it were just another person that we were hanging out with. We just get to know the landscape, and then we meet the characters that we meet, and we have an adventure. Truths are uncovered. Relationships are repaired in myself and in the person I'm sitting with. The better I understand myself, the more I find myself approaching the world around me with curiosity. And that is fantastic. That's where joy lives. Every moment that I am out in the world, awake, out of my bed, and I'm feeling curiosity is a joyful moment. You can't feel curiosity when you're afraid, so it means I'm not afraid. That's a good thing. I spent so much of my life afraid. Stress, irritation, anger. I didn't know it was fear at the time. All that stuff is fear, this underlying thing that makes you feel like you're going to die and not live. But it's all pain. Fear translates to pain, because the pain is having things that are wounding you that you need to protect yourself from. The inconvenient truth is that the things that were wounding me were not actually things, just my stories, settings that I built for the happenings in my life, perspective. So the pain always has an underlying fear. When I finally became tired enough, when the pain was hurting enough that I just couldn't ignore it anymore, I couldn't just keep putting one foot in front of the other and
telling myself that it's going to get better just hurts. It's just a world of pain. I mean, you get eventually, I got to the point that I was willing to do anything to make the pain go away. And of course, it's all stories I'm telling myself. All the pain is stories I'm telling myself. But trying to figure out what stories are me and what stories are not. What stories am I telling that I was raised to tell, that I was taught to tell? What do I believe because just how I was cultured in my upbringing? And what do I believe because it makes sense to me, to all of my senses? So I just dropped it all. Let it all go. Resigned myself to letting go of everything that I had studied and believed passionately for my whole life. That feels like dying. I mean, it's like torture. There is a point when you're torturing somebody, at least in all the made-up books that I read, the awesome, awesome, awesome fantasy series, you know, like Wheel of Time and all Brandon Sanderson. Ugh, those are my top three. Brandon Sanderson, his whole multiverse, Wheel of Time, and Sword of Truth. But there's always a point when the person gets captured by this super evil guy. They get tortured and tortured and tortured until they are begging to die because the pain is so great. They just don't have the capacity to bear it. So death becomes a comfortable thing. It's like, okay, you die the first time and you realize after you let your perspective go, after you allow the realization that your worldview is not yours, to just become truth inside you. And it happens in an instant. You work towards it, you work towards it. You think about it, you sit with it. You make up mantras about it to help you remember things, to help you try to start shifting your focus. And one little tiny inch at a time, it slowly, 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 slowly becomes a little bit more clear and a little bit more clear. And one little piece fits into place over here and you make this little realization over here and this little thing shifts a little bit. And all these little things start happening as you start thinking about who you are, what you want, the thing you're struggling with, just the thinking about the thing you're struggling with. And all those little shifts over time set up an event where all of a sudden, one of the pieces that has come together that I understand, that I recognize, just the piece, fits in such a way that it fits in with many, many, many pieces around it, which then fit in with many, many pieces around them with that placement of that one piece. Just recognizing something in a different light all of a sudden makes everything else cascade effect. And so in one instant, my whole worldview would shift. Change takes a long time to prepare for, to set the groundwork for, but it happens in an instant. At least that's my experience. It does not have to be everybody's, obviously. Each human is exquisitely unique. And the first time you go through a death like that, trying to change my tense speaking. I don't want to speak about you. I want to speak about me because that's what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about my experience. The first time I went through a death like that, it was horrific. I remember in the early dying times, sitting up in the living room, kneeling on the couch with my arms resting on the back, my forehead pressed against the window pane, 2 o'clock in the morning, watching the rain fall through the streetlights and just feeling like nothing I'd ever done was real. But then you sit in that for a while and it feels horrible and your whole world starts to turn gray and you're having a panic attack. And I'm laying there having a panic attack and shaking. And then after a while, I kind of just realize that I'm still there. Here I am. I'm not dead. So I pick myself back up. Angela says, well, if it feels like your whole life is shattered around you, why don't you just pick up a piece and try to figure out where it goes? So I did. I just jumped into my imagination. Nothing else I'd ever done had ever worked. No book I'd ever read. Nothing I'd ever done had ever brought me peace, brought me balance, brought me harmony. So what do I have to lose? Start imagining things. Imagination is creation. If the only thing that feels real is what I learned at church and in school from my parents, then I don't have the capacity to be creative. I didn't. I was too attached to everything I thought I knew to learn the things I can only learn from just allowing my imagination to be whatever it wants to be. Ah, that's what I mean. That's where learning starts. That's where creation starts. Great. So the more I went through the deaths, the less afraid I became of them. I was always okay on the other side. Always okay on the other side. And I started to find mantras of remembering perspective, like everything is exactly what it's supposed to be. This isn't going to turn out the way I think it will. And it's going to be more fantastic than I could have dreamed up. Just keep saying that to myself over and over and over and over and over. And the walking through the death, feeling like I'm dying, became less and less painful until I think now it feels more like breathing, like life and death. Breath in and breath out, just becoming one beautiful rhythm. Like right now, I'm messy. Right now, I'm all sorts of discordant. Like I'm knotted up. My energy's not flowing. I feel flat on the inside. This is a state of being that used to terrify me because like I found joy. I found curiosity and now it's gone. Oh no, I have to find it again. Oh, more pain. But now that it feels like breathing, it makes sense to me. I know you can't take a breath in unless you take a breath out. We take a breath in and we hold it because it's precious oxygen. It's precious. You got to keep it. There might not be enough for the next breath. And we don't think that consciously. Shit. I wouldn't think that consciously, but I didn't think of it as breathing either. The shift part, the death part, the recognizing where my worldview just doesn't serve me and dropping it. It feels like a breath out now. Release. So when I got tired of hurting, the pain that comes from being afraid, I just did whatever I could possibly find to do to get a different perspective, to jolt myself to look at it in a different way, because I believed a life of joy was possible. I had to accept that I didn't know how to do it, but I always believed it was possible. I had to jolt myself. I just chose to, every single way I could think of, conversations with every person that would stop to talk to me, listening to podcasts, every podcast that I could find that drew me in. I would just listen to everything people would recommend, everything that came up. I would do searches and I would just start listening, and you immediately know if it draws you in or not. And if it doesn't, or I would immediately know. And if it didn't draw me in, I would stop listening and I would find something else. And it would just started just going with that flow, hallucinogenic mushrooms and weed, you know, all of the kind of hallucinogenic type things that crack, like it loosened the grip that my consciousness had on what it saw as reality. It's kind of like, it's a little bit experiencing magic, like your imaginations kind of become true in a way. And so it helps to just shift so that you can actually see the world through the eyes of a child again, where like magic becomes possible again. And when magic is possible, it becomes real. It's never what you expect or what you think it's going to be. And then eventually my perspective shifted through many giant cataclysmic shifts and small trudges and long slides down mountain slopes, backtracking and failing over and over and over, just losing people out of my life. Through all of it, I find myself in a place where everything that used to just keep me duct taped in the closet, emotional, it's all just breathing. I'm just breathing. I'm just doing what humans do. Breathing in, breathing out. I'm fulfilling my purpose. Being on this planet, in this reality, simply for the pleasure of experiencing it as it is. That is something. It's something that makes it feel like a joy to be alive.